It is Galatians verse 2 to verse 19, reading through 3 to verse 14. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like you to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the word of the precious Lord.
Well, I want to ask just one question this morning, and that is, what does our relationship with God depend on? Now, if you are not a Christian, or not yet a Christian, then the question is probably, what does a relationship with God depend on? Because ultimately there are two options. There's one option over here. Let's hang my jacket on there. First, our relationship with God depends on us, on what we do. Doing the right thing, keeping the right rules. And if we keep enough, we get to God. Or perhaps the more we do, the closer we get, if God's over there. Or the less we do, or the more we muck up, the further away we get. And many people think that is what religion is all about. Many people think that is what, how we relate to God. As we will see, that is not Christianity. What does our relationship with God depend on? Well, the first option is that it depends on us. The other option is that it depends entirely and completely on Jesus. Jesus has done it all. So we say no to self and we receive the gift of an intimate relationship with God. God comes to live in us by the Spirit. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is Christianity. So those are the two options, okay? And the Galatian Christians had got this at the start. But then some people had come in and were saying, yes, Jesus is how you get in, but keeping the rules is how you stay in. So that's why this question of what does our relationship with God depend on so important. Now let's just give some names to these things. On this side we have, you might not be able to see this, but if you can, that's great. We have gnomism, not as in little gnomes with hats, but we'll put that. Those will appear on the screen as well. And we have legalism. Legalism says, I obey in order to win God's favour. Gnomism says, I obey in order to keep God's favour. And on this side we have grace. Grace says, I'm secure in God's favour in Jesus, therefore I want to be like him. Now, in our section of Galatians today, Paul gives the Galatians three reasons why our relationship with God depends entirely and only on Jesus. First reason, how we receive the Spirit. I don't know whether you've come across this picture. It makes me chuckle, but it also makes a point. You know, if you're walking along and you find a turtle on a fence post, there's one question that you're going to ask. How did it get there? And the eagle-eyed among you will notice that that's not a turtle, it's a tortoise. In fact, most of the pictures online of this are actually tortoises, not turtles. But I did manage to find an actual turtle on a fence post. But if you find a turtle on a fence post, you ask, how did it get there? And Paul's point in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, is to ask the Galatian Christians, how did you get the Spirit? How did you get God living in you? Was it by obeying the rules, keeping the Old Testament, doing spiritual things, climbing up the post, as it were? Was that it? No. Paul writes, verse 1 of chapter 3, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. The Galatian Christians heard the message about Jesus, the Son of God, how he died on the cross in their place, and they believed what they heard, and they said, yes, this is true, and yes, this is for me. And as they believed, they received the Spirit. And they immediately had an intimate relationship with God. That is how you receive the Spirit, by believing the good news about Jesus. And so Paul asks in verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by believing what you heard? What we've just heard from Justin Welby, our Archbishop, illustrates this point. He'd heard a bit about Jesus, and he simply prayed, Jesus, I don't really know you, but please come into my life. And Jesus came in by his Spirit. He said, something changed, and it stayed changed. And Paul is saying, if that's how the relationship starts, then surely it's obvious that's how it continues. So verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the law? And in verse 5, Paul makes the same point. God's presence in us by his Spirit and working miracles among us does not depend on us obeying rules and doing stuff and being obedient. It depends on Jesus. Hearing about Jesus, spending more time with Jesus, and the Spirit in us changing us to be more like Jesus. Now, I find that's really encouraging, isn't it? So many of us, I think, slip into probably gnomism. Gnomism is tick-list Christianity. You know, Jesus gets us in, but now we're in. Here are all the things I need to do to stay in, to keep in. And it started off with Jesus, but now it's not about Jesus, it's about all the things I've got to do for Jesus. And whereas there was joy there, there's now just this weight of, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. Now, I don't know about you, but the radical course has been really challenging. Now, if we're working on a Jesus gets me in and I need to obey to stay in, when we hear the challenge of radical, we will give up because we'll come away thinking, I need to go on a mission trip, I must adopt some children, I must give 90% of my stuff away, and we come away thinking, golly, I can't do that. But if we go in and say, hey, it's all about Jesus, then we come out saying, whoa, this is Jesus. He's bigger than I realized, more challenging than I imagined. And I want to be more like him, and I want to follow him more closely, and so I'm going to turn to him in order to enable me to do this. And there's life in that, isn't there? Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And just to remind you, you see, the Bible is not a list of rules for you and I to burdensomely keep and to then judge other Christians and churches by. It's God's word to show us Jesus that we might be changed by his Spirit. We continue the way we start. We hear about Jesus. We believe it. We love him. We want him in our lives. It changes us. So that's the first reason why it's clear our relationship with God depends entirely and only and completely on Jesus, how we receive the Spirit. The second reason, is the pattern of Abraham. Somebody told me that I often have about 5 ideas before breakfast, and I know that when I was a curate, my boss found me incredibly frustrating at times. But there were times he told me when he found me frustrating. And I would say, you know, let's do this. And then the next day, well, actually, let's do this. And then the following day, actually, I've got a better idea. Let's do this. If you ask Anita, who's the buildings coordinating our infrastructure group, I think she finds that a bit frustrating with me. But is God like that? You know, he has plan A in the Old Testament, and then perhaps tries plan B, then tries plan C, until he finally gets to plan G, which is grace. And does God change his mind? Or put it another way, does God have different ways for people to come to know him? You know, and perhaps you choose the plan that works for you. Well, the false teachers in Galatia were saying, it's always been gnomism. Which one is it? There we go, that one. Jesus gets you in, now you need to obey the law to stay in. And Paul says, no, no, no. There's been one plan, plan A, all along, that is grace. This is God's plan from the start. And he takes us back to Abraham in Genesis and gives a string of Old Testament quotes that shows this is God's plan from the start. If you remember, Abraham is the turning point of the Old Testament. Genesis 1 to 11 is the world going downhill because of man's rebellion. It ends up under God's curse, which means God's judgment. And then the turning point is when God promises to restore his blessing, his favor to the world, through Abraham. And so the question is, how did Abraham relate to God? Well, Paul's point in verses 6 to 9 is that Abraham is God's pattern for a right relationship with God. And look at verse 6, where Paul quotes from Genesis. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We need to get 2 things clear. Slightly technical, but stick with me on this, okay? The difference, and that's the difference between external righteousness and internal righteousness. Because I think we often get confused. External righteousness is about how God views me. Am I in God's favor or not? Am I in a right relationship with God? Am I under his judgment or not? That's external righteousness. Internal righteousness is my behavior, my actions, my attitudes. Well, what did Abraham discover? Abraham discovered that he believed God and he was given the gift of a right relationship with God. And God said, you are not under my judgment, you are in my favor. It was an external righteousness. How did he get it? Simply by believing. Through faith. That then changes his life, his behavior and his actions and attitude. The internal righteousness flows from the external. So how did Abraham end up right with God? Well, it was by faith, and faith alone. John Calvin said, justification is by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone. Does that make sense? So through faith, Abraham has an external righteousness with God. He's now in God's favor, but that then changes his life. It will never be alone because it will change your life. And Paul's point is that Abraham is the pattern for how God was going to bring his blessing to the nations right from the start. The gospel's there in Genesis 12. You see, it's the same good news from Genesis, well, actually it's from Genesis 3, but particularly clear in Genesis 12 all the way through. A relationship with God does not depend on our obedience. It was always and only ever going to be through faith. Now that is groundbreaking for the people back then. Because in order to be a true child of Abraham, you don't need to keep the Old Testament law. You don't need to be circumcised. Phew. You just need to believe God. And if you've heard the truth about Jesus, accepted it and believed it, you have been given a right relationship with God just like Abraham had. God looks on you with the same favor, the same smile, the same generosity as he did to Abraham. Isn't that extraordinary? And in fact, as we will see in a moment, you actually have a deeper relationship with God than Abraham ever did. So there's two reasons so far. We've seen how we receive the Spirit, second, the pattern of Abraham, then the third reason why our relationship with God depends entirely and only and completely on Jesus is the work of Jesus. Now let's say, for the sake of argument, we're going to come and stand over here. We want to go for gnomism and legalism, i.e. we want our relationship with God to depend on something we do. What do we have to do? Well, I think often we like to be like the kids in the sweet shop, pick and mix legalist or pick and mix gnomist. You know, I've done what I think is enough in order for God to think, consider me good. I've done enough that in order for God to be in my life. Or we beat ourselves up that I haven't done enough for me to be in a relationship with God. So either God should be happy with me because I'm happy with me, or God should be displeased with me because I'm displeased with me. So what do we do? What do we need to do if we're going to be on this side? Well, Paul shows, again with more verses from the Old Testament, that the Old Testament shows if you want to rely on what we do, the standard that is required is complete obedience. Listen to verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it's written in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Hear what he's saying? If you want to be right with God by your own efforts, the rules are in the Old Testament, and you don't just do some of them. It's not just 10, there's 613 of them. And you have to continue to do the whole package all the time. It's like a contract. You can't pick and choose. It's all of them continually. So if you want to get right and keep right with God by your own efforts, there's the terms of the contract. And the standard is 100% all the time. Otherwise, you're in breach of contract and you're under God's judgment. Wow. Well, that means we're all in trouble. And so Paul says in verse 11, if you're following it, clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified. That's made right with God because, and another quote from the Old Testament, the righteous will live, how? By faith. See, clearly you can't be right with God by obeying the law because it's do this, do that. And here's the problem. The law requires 100% and we have all failed. And therefore we are all under God's judgment. And then Paul gives us the wonderful news in verse 13. And it's the verse on the screen there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, or the judgment of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed, again in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. So here's what happened with Jesus. The judgment we deserve for our failure and inability, he took on himself. We failed. He paid the penalty. And the law is like a big long list that says, you failed here, Nick, you failed here, Nick, you failed here, Nick, you failed here. The only thing you deserve is God's judgment. And if you want to earn something, well, the only thing you can earn by your own efforts is judgment. If you want to rely on yourself, the only thing that you can get by relying on yourself is judgment. But why would we do that? Because Jesus has taken all the judgment on himself. Everything in which we have failed God in and should deserve, that should separate us from God, Jesus has paid for the whole lot. Isn't that extraordinary? There is no record before God of what we have done wrong anymore, because Jesus has paid. There is no list of rules that says, do this, you failed, you failed, you failed. Do this and get closer to God. It's all gone. And so it should be clear, that is not how we relate to God. At the end of verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. The word for Gentiles could be translated nations. Through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus died on the cross so that a relationship with God depends only and completely and entirely on Jesus. Which is wonderful news, isn't it? Because that means it's for anyone, from anywhere. You don't have to be good, phew. You don't have to be a certain sort of person, oh, that's a relief. You don't have to know all that much, I think it was fascinating with the Archbishop's testimony. He said, I didn't really know much. And yet he received a relationship with Jesus. See, having God live in you by his Spirit depends only on faith in Jesus. And here's the thing. If you and I believe in Jesus, you and I have a better relationship with God than Abraham ever did. I don't think we believe that, do we? But he had to relate to God externally. Yes, he was in a right relationship with God, but he related to God out there. Whereas through faith in Jesus and what he's done, you and I receive the Spirit. That is God's presence in us. Jesus in us. And no matter how, where we are, what we're doing, that intimate relationship is always there. So, you know, when we're singing praises at church, perhaps we might feel it a bit more. Or when we're in certain situations, perhaps amongst God's creation, we might feel it. But actually, God is in us by his Spirit because of Jesus. He's just as close when we're in the loo, when we are sinning big, when we're mucking up in a big way, when we're driving the car. He's there. Because through Jesus, he's in us by his Spirit. A relationship with God depends only and completely on Jesus. There was a man in England who put his Rolls Royce on a boat and went across the continent to go on a holiday. And while he's driving around Europe, something happened to the motor of his car. I don't know whether this is a true story or not, but it makes the point. He contacted the Rolls Royce people back in England and asked, I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? Well, the Rolls Royce people flew a mechanic over. The mechanic repaired the car and he flew back to England and left the man to continue his holiday. And I guess you imagine the man's thinking, how much is this going to cost me? So when he got back to England, he wrote to the people a letter and asked how much he owed them. And he received a letter from the office that read, Dear sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. But that's what Jesus has done for us. There is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with Nick Gowers. Jesus has paid. He obeyed the law for us. He's paid the penalty for us. And it's all of grace. There is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with. Put your name in there. Isn't that wonderful? How does this change our life this week? You know, this week, you may have a really bad week. Hopefully I'm not a prophet, but this week you may have a really bad week. You may sin really big this week. You may not read your Bible at all. You may swear at your boss and your wife and your kids. And now that behavior will be uncomfortable, because if you're a Christian, you'll be behaving contrary to the Spirit. But you are still right with God, with his Spirit in you. Because your relationship with God doesn't depend on how obedient or not you are. It depends on Jesus. Dear sir, there is no record. Or you could have a really good week. You might tell 5 people about Jesus. They all become Christians. Pray for 2 hours each day. And actually, God is no closer. You've spent time with Jesus, which is a brilliant thing, and I want to encourage it. But God is just as close because he's in you by his Spirit. Because your relationship with God doesn't depend on what you do, but on Jesus. Now, I find this is wonderful. It's liberating. You know what? I want to tell you, you don't have to read your Bible. But if you get this, you'll want to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. No, but if you get this, you'll want to pray. You don't have to become more like Jesus. No, but the Spirit in you will want to make you become more like Jesus, because it all depends on Jesus. Do we see? Isn't that wonderful? So when you're at Radical, when you're at Discipleship Explore, when you're at Alpha, yes, there's some really challenging stuff we're being taught. But it's not to make us go away going, I've got to do this and feel weighed down. It's to go, let's go back to Jesus. I want to be more like him. I want to spend more time with him. And that's in a sense, the message for us today. As we share in the bread and wine a little bit later, you don't have to be good to share in the bread and wine. You don't have to be obedient. You just have to come recognizing, Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to be more like you. And I want more of you in my life. That is Christianity. But it's so easy, isn't it, to slip into legalism and gnomism.